It's our privilege today to have with us Brother Norman Freeburg. He is the Southeastern Representative for the International Partnership Ministries based out of Hanover, Pennsylvania. He and his wife have been missionaries for a number of years in Norway and then in Canada, and they come with a very unique understanding of Christian ministry. I had the opportunity this past summer to travel with Brother Freeburg to Haiti, and as you're going to see, he's quite tall. And so we got nicknames there in Haiti. He was Pastor Long and I was Pastor Short. Now, he told me this morning that it had nothing to do with height. It had to do with the length of our messages. So hopefully today he's going to be Pastor Short.
That's right.
Chrissy, it's our privilege today to have Brother Freeburg with us. Come and share what God has laid on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Joy to be with you. And as far as the length of the message, when I was graduating from high school, we had a guest speaker, and we called him Triple H. His name was Hubert Horatio Humphrey. And those of you that are my age know that he was once Vice President of the United States, and he had a lot of experience at speaking, and he probably talked for an hour at least. But to me, it seemed like several hours. And so I made the vow that if I would ever be in that situation, that I would keep it short. And I've tried my best to do that, and I'll try my best today. But it is a joy, a privilege to be here and to have a part in congratulating these graduates for what they've accomplished and to talk to them about what's ahead. God expects the believer to have a victorious Christian life. He expects our life to be an adventure, to be exciting. And they should be able to look forward to the future with great anticipation, realizing that as long as they're in the center of God's will, that God will lead them along a path that will bring joy and happiness and purpose to their life. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this afternoon from James chapter 4. But truly, this is an exciting time, and a time when we can think back about the past. And I would sure like to thank you, parents of these graduates, for what you were willing to sacrifice in order to make it possible for them to be here and be in the school and graduate, and you're going to have some more sacrifices in the future, I'm sure, as they move along. But God will bless you for it. But anyway, as these young people begin to think about the future, they probably are wondering what kind of a career they're going to have, whether or not they're going to marry, and if so, who they're going to marry, whether or not they're going to be rich or poor, whether or not they're going to have good health. And we like to think about the future and like to plan it out. And if a person doesn't plan to a way to get to his destination, he's probably not going to get there. But when we make our plans, we have to make sure that God is in the center of the plans. And when we come to the Word of God in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're told that the will of God for the believer is to give himself to God, present his body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And we're told that that's his perfect will. So the will of God for the believer is primarily that of a relationship. But then, if you have the right relationship as a believer, then day by day, hour by hour, God leads you along into that career, into that marriage, into those decisions that we all have to make. For a young person, it's a real challenge. Here they are, still young, and yet they'll be making critical decisions that will be with them the rest of their lives, who they marry, what their career is going to be, how they're going to live their life. And they need to be held up in prayer by this local church, by all the guests that are here, by their parents, because they need the guidance of God's hand. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity to share in the lives of these young people. We pray that you will guide them each step of the way, that you'll keep the evil one away from them. We pray, Lord, that you will guide their path so that they will, along the way, come across those that will be able to give them good advice, good, wise counsel, and that they might center their lives in your word so they know how to live. We pray most of all that at the end of the way that they will be able to say that they live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he truly is their Lord and their Savior. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. When we think about this matter of God's will, the Bible gives us many examples of those that follow God's will and those that did not. There are many examples of the marks of a Christian. For example, in the Word of God, we find out a true believer is one that loves God. And if you see somebody's life that emulates that love for God, you can be pretty sure they're a believer. There are other things such as whether or not you love the people of God, whether or not you love the book of God, whether or not you love the songs about God. These are good marks. But one mark of a Christian that we find in the Word of God is somebody that seeks to do the will of God. Doing the will of God is an example that should be seen in the life of every believer, and probably the greatest example in all of Scripture and all of history of doing God's will is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to Calvary, he suffered, he died there. He did that, sure, because he loved us, but more importantly, the central purpose behind what Christ did at Calvary was to do the will of God. He was seeking to do God's will. Remember on the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ asked his Father, does this really have to be? And then he said, Father, I'll do your will. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did all that God had asked him to do. And that's what he expects of us. I want you to see in James chapter 4, four different responses to the will of God that can happen in your life. James chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Here we see someone that ignores God's will. Somebody who just plans their life and goes ahead without paying any attention to what God might want them to do. Here is a picture of somebody that we might call a practical atheist. They might have believed in God, but they lived their life as if there was no God. A believer can do that. A believer can just go along through life ignoring what God wants them to do, just deciding to do what they want to do. So they live as if there is no God. This seems to be the picture of a businessman. And the businessman makes a number of decisions here. He says, well, first of all, he chooses his own time. He's going to go on a business trip. He chooses when he's going to go. He chooses where he's going to go. He chooses how long he's going to stay there. He chooses what his goal is going to be. And there was nothing wrong with any of those things. But James says he left out one thing. He never sought God's will in the matter. And then he reminds the person that your life is but a vapor. Now, they can't understand that, but I can. Life goes like that, maybe even faster. You just turn around and it's over, it's gone. And so these young people, as they look ahead to the future, the key guiding principle in their life needs to be the will of God. And they need to be careful not to ignore the will of God. I remember in Indiana coming from leaving a church where I'd been speaking, and I was driving down a road and I saw an unfinished mansion, and I looked at that thing, and there were vines and growing up, and I thought, well, there's a guy that didn't really plan ahead very good. He must have ran out of money or something. Now, all over Florida, at least in the part that I live in, there are unfinished buildings. Everywhere you go, somebody started a project. The collapse happened in 2008, and so the building's half done. So many times in our life, we make plans, but we go about halfway to completing them, and then we discover that wasn't the way we were to go, and we change our route. Young person, if you make God the one that directs your path, you'll finish the building, you'll finish the project, you'll accomplish the things that God would have you to do. So you can ignore God's will if you want. The second thing you can do is reject God's will. James chapter 4 and verse number 16. Here we read James 4, 16, but now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Here's a person that simply boasts that they can make their own decisions. They are controlling their own life. And this is probably the picture of an unbeliever, actually. Somebody who wants God not part of his life at all. And there are those like that in the world today that reject God completely. God's will is not important to them. They are arrogant in the rejection of God. And that's the same kind of attitude that Satan expressed. He kept saying, I will do this, and I will do that, and I will do this, and I will do that. I will lift myself up higher than God. And so that's one approach, is simply to reject God's will. A third approach is to disobey God's will. If you look at verse 17, we read this. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's an interesting thought. Here is somebody that his attitude to God is that he has a knowledge of God's supremacy. He knows what God's will is, but he disobeys it. And this is really talking about somebody who's committing the sin of omission, something that believers do all the time. Perhaps what he's really doing here is delaying discipleship. Instead of doing what God wants him to do today, he decides that he'll put that off and do it in the future. When I was in high school, I remember my high school counselor called me into his office. He asked me, "What are you going to do when you get out of high school?" And I said, "Well, I believe that God wants me to be a preacher, so I'm going to go to college, then I'm going to go to seminary." He said, "In truth, Norm," he said, "you're not equipped to go to college and graduate school. You really don't have the ability." Well, he was right, you know. But you can do anything that God wants you to do. And if God wants you to do something, you may not think you have the ability, the talent, but you can do it as long as it's God's will. So I headed off to college and went to the University of Wisconsin in River Falls. And after finishing there, I had kind of grown cold in my relationship to God. I knew I should go to seminary. I knew he wanted me in the ministry. But I thought, you know, before I do that, I'd like to make some money. So I delayed doing the will of God. I decided maybe I could make money as an insurance salesman. I don't know if you got any here that are real rich, but that was my plan. So I took these tests and got a license, went to work for this insurance agency. It was on straight commission. That's important to the story. But anyway, I get there, and there's these guys in the office, and I've been there 2 or 3 days, and one guy comes up to me, and he says, now remember, at the time, I wasn't living for the Lord, but he said to me, "Norm," he said, "my wife told me last night she's going to leave me, and I don't know what to do." Well, I really wasn't the guy to be asking at that time, but I said to him, "Well, I'll see if I can help you." And I had a copy of Late Great Planet Earth that had just come out, so you know how long ago that was. I gave it to him. He went home that night, read the book, received the Lord as his Savior, came back in the morning all excited, and he said, "Wow." He said, "I'm a Christian now. I trusted in Christ as my Savior." And we begin to talk about end time events and things that were in that book and things that are in the Bible. Well, another agent came up, and he said, "What are you guys talking about?" And I started explaining to him, and right there, he knelt down by his chair and received the Lord as his Savior. Went home that night and led his wife to the Lord. A couple days later, we were talking about spiritual things in the office, and the secretary came over, and she said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, here's what we're talking about," and she received the Lord. Well, nobody was selling insurance. So they closed down the office, and I was out of a job, out of a place to live. I was in trouble. And so I went to visit Fourth Baptist Church, which happens to house Central Seminary. I walk into church for the evening service, and after the service, I'm standing around, and a seminary student came up to me, and he said, you wouldn't be looking for a place to live, would you?" I said, "Yeah, actually, I am. So I had a place to live." And then another student came up to me and said, "You wouldn't be looking for employment, would you? I need somebody to work with me." So I had a job. Well, there I was. I had a job. Actually, I was working at the seminary. And I had a place to live right next to the seminary. So, of course, I started seminary. But all that time, I was trying to run away from the will of God. These people got saved not because of me, but in spite of me. And you see that God was really gentle with me. He's not gentle with everybody. And if you get out of the will of God and start going your own way, God may come along and treat you in a way that won't be pleasant till you get back into the center of his will. And so we have to be careful not to delay doing the will of God. The best way is the fourth way of responding to the will of God, and we find that in verse number 15. "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." The positive response. If it's the Lord's will, that's what I'm going to do. If it's the Lord's will, submission to God's will, to every aspect of the Word of God, to every aspect of God's leading in your life. The will of God should be central to all of our plans. I work with a mission where we have nationals from 30 different countries. Most of them are developing countries. We bring the key ones into the U.S., take them to churches where they raise support for their mission. And these guys grew up in poverty. Most of them are basically still in poverty. But they have an interesting way of living in the present. Maybe because every day they have to depend upon food for the day. They don't really look off into the future that much. Sure, they plan for their ministry, but they're used to just living a day at a time. Now, God wants us to plan for the future, but He more than that wants us to live every single day of our life with Him as the supreme, preeminent ruler in our life. Young person, if there's one bit of advice that I could give to you at this time in your life, is to make God preeminent, central in everything you do. Do His will. And God promises blessing beyond our ability to really contain. And our God is like that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for these young people. And we pray now that You might bless them in a special way. We pray that You would, in the days ahead, lead them onto a life of excitement, a thrilling life, a life of adventure, a life of service to You, a life where Jesus Christ rules and reigns in their life, and where they're able to serve You and have a life that pleases You in every single aspect. We ask these things now in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.